As all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Pritha. Purport. Everyone is searching for Krishna in the different aspects of his manifestations. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is partially realized in his impersonal Brahmajyoti effulgence and as the all-pervading Supersoul, dwelling within everything, including the particles of atoms. But Krishna is fully realized only by his pure devotees. Consequently, Krishna is the object of everyone's realization, and thus anyone and everyone is satisfied according to one's desire to have him. In the transcendental world also, Krishna reciprocates with his pure devotees in the transcendental attitude, just as the devotee wants him. One devotee may want Krishna as the Supreme Master, another as his personal friend, yet another as his son, and still another as his lover. Krishna rewards all the devotees equally, according to their different intensities of love for him. In the material world, the same reciprocations of feelings are there, and they are equally exchanged by the Lord with the different types of worshippers. The pure devotees, both here and in the transcendental abode, associate with him in person and are able to render personal service to the Lord and thus derive transcendental bliss in his loving service. As for those who are impersonalists and who want to commit spiritual suicide by annihilating the individual existence of the living entity, Krishna helps also by absorbing them into his effulgence. Such impersonalists do not agree to accept the eternal blissful personality of Godhead. Consequently, they cannot relish the bliss of transcendental personal service to the Lord, having extinguished their individuality. Can you still concentrate?
Yes.
Where were we? What did we talk so far? Hare Krishna. Please concentrate even more. I will give you a summary. It was about everyone searching for Krishna, and Srila Prabhupada had just talked about the different manifestations of Krishna. And that's a wonderful thing, because Krishna can respond in all these manifestations to the desires of the devotees to have him. Even, that was the last point, of those who do not wish to continue a personal existence, the Lord can just absorb them in their Brahma, in his Brahman effulgence. They are chanting, the children?
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Let them, please. Yes, very good. But is there a door to close?
Yes.
No, but if they chant, this is the perfection of our existence, then we will have relative peace. Yes. Yeah, good. Only relative, because our minds are so unpeaceful in Kali Yuga. So then Srila Prabhupada, he has said this. Why did he explain this point? Because he wants to illustrate how everyone can be rewarded with a God realization by Lord Krishna. So Lord Krishna takes different forms to really respond to the different devotees. So it continues now. These impersonalists are not admitted into the spiritual planets, but they are again given a chance to act on the material planets. For those who are fruitive workers, the Lord awards the desired results of their prescribed duties as the Yajneshwara. And those who are yogis seeking mystic powers are awarded such powers. In other words, everyone is dependent for success upon Krishna's mercy alone. And all kinds of spiritual processes are but different degrees of success on the same path. Unless therefore one comes to the highest perfection of Krishna consciousness, all attempts remain imperfect as is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Akama sarvakamo va mokshakama udaradi divrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether one is without desire, the condition of the devotees, or is desirous of all fruitive results, or is after liberation, one should with all efforts try to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead for complete perfection culminating in Krishna consciousness. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Prajanine Nivishesha Shunyavani Paskatyare Sadarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nittananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Our subject matter today is awakening the spiritual heart. This is a very important subject matter because without awakening the spiritual heart, our Krishna conscious practice will remain theoretical. We will not be 100% with our practice. This is a great danger when a movement turns over 40 years. As you can see there. Sometimes when you turn older, your life becomes automatic. Everything goes into set frames. There is no longer the excitement of a life. When a person turns to Krishna consciousness or to a movement like Krishna consciousness, there is in the beginning a lot of enthusiasm. But this enthusiasm is often dependent on the external changes which happen. For instance, when I turned a devotee, I was very, very excited about wearing a dhoti for the first time. I do remember it was a major architectural operation to somehow bring me into the dhoti or bring the dhoti on me. And I do remember feeling very enthusiastic about the adventure. And so there are many other things in Krishna consciousness exciting, but only in the beginning. This enthusiasm which the beginner feels is often dependent on external practices, and it is therefore called utsahan mayi, the beginner's enthusiasm. The example which is used is a Brahmin boy who obtains a shastra, a scripture. He is now very, very proud that he has a book under his arm, and he looks like a professional brahmana, fully accepted as a Brahmin, and is feeling very, very enlivened and enthusiastic, but only in the beginning. Because in order to really remain enthusiastic, this Brahmin boy would have to learn to read. And furthermore, he would have to learn to reflect on the subject matters which are in the book. And even still further, to remain enthusiastic, he would have to apply the knowledge in the book. The external or beginner's enthusiasm of having a book is not deep. It is only skin deep. He carries the book on his skin. But for lack of a deeper understanding of the content of the book and the application of the book, his appreciation will be very, very short-lived. Very, very, very short-lived. Like in my case, after I had learned to put on the dhoti and therefore looked different from everyone else and had derived some beginner's enthusiasm from this, I had to learn, maybe the hard way, to go deeper in my Krishna consciousness and to not practice an external form of Krishna consciousness and an external enthusiasm. Many, 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 many people want to be touched by something which totally moves them. In the materialistic society, they do this by ever new forms of sense gratification. Interesting holidays with interesting new cuisines and interesting experiences are ranking in Europe as the topmost form of sense gratification at the moment. You go into a foreign country and you flood your senses with a variety of totally new experiences. But this type of, let us say, experience goes only skin deep or sense deep. Therefore, people who are a little bit more deeper in their life, they want to have nice relationships, because in relationships, the heart is immediately addressed. Emotions are there in relationships and are felt. You will see in most of the movies, I know the Hare Krishna movement does not look at Kami movies, but if you would, you would see the highest value in modern entertainment is always love, a relationship. In fact, a super duper Hollywood movie would not be able to sell if there wouldn't be inside of it a fascinating relationship, which because everyone knows just the skin deep experiences of gross bodily life, physical life is not moving the heart enough. Emotions are moving the heart, and emotions which are experienced in a relationship. The same holds true if we want to practice Krishna consciousness. If we only use our physical senses, that's already something. But if the experience doesn't go down to our heart, where we experience a loving relationship with Krishna, then our experiences will not be very satisfying, and we will, at the end of our life, the result is only that we sport a impressive belly, because our main gratification lies in prasadam. We have not learned to awaken our spiritual heart. We have not learned to bring our emotions to Krishna. This will be the result. And impressive bellies bring impressive diseases with them. It's not a healthy practice of Krishna consciousness. My dear devotees, I cannot tell you Hare Krishna, how important it is to awaken the spiritual heart. You can know Krishna only in a relationship. And a relationship always is a two-way road. In other words, a person with whom you have a relationship addresses you with messages, with feelings. And you, who are in the relationship with the person, have to address the person. That is what a relationship means. A relationship to Krishna also means this. We hear what Krishna tells us. Here he tells us in this verse that he is ready to respond in the degree of someone's relationship, in the degree of someone's surrender in that relationship with him. And now we have heard it, we now need to respond to Krishna's call for us. This is what spiritual relationships means. A relationship to God always means you have to respond to Him in some ways and in every day of your life. See, relationships become strained when there is a communication breakdown. I can see this very often in the sad or tense phases of our grihasthas. There comes a time when it's very difficult to communicate in a meaningful way, and that is the death dance. This is the first step in the death dance of a strained relationship. Communication breakdown, where there is no communication. Dear Nat, I can guarantee you that the pictures which you see with your eye will not be as vivid and as long-lasting as the pictures which you get in your heart. So this happens by hearing, so please sit down, forget about the external world of photo cameras, because that's where the lecture is about. You have not yet noticed it, but now you have noticed it. It's something more. Spiritual life is not about external things. We have to go deeper. Pictures in the heart are more important than the pictures that the machine can take. So, yes. So, Every one of you, what is your communication with Krishna on a daily basis? Or do you live in a communication breakdown with Krishna? How do you respond to Krishna? You respond by prayer. You respond by doing your japa, but not only with the lips, with the heart. You respond to Krishna by doing your darshan with a prayerful mood. Oh, my Lord, I have come before you. Who is there on the altar? My Lord, please look at me and with your merciful glance bring life to my dead soul. Don't allow a communication breakdown with your relationship with Krishna. Krishna is constantly sending you messages to wake you up. Krishna's mercy is there, surrounding us in many, many ways. But Krishna wants that there is not a communication breakdown on your side. You have to now respond to him through japa, in your kirtan, and in your darshan, and in your service. And it must be done with your heart. It cannot be lip service. It cannot be external. Otherwise you suffer this syndrome which 70% of the Hare Krishna movement suffers from, a communication breakdown with God. It's a terrible disease which happens as you go older in your spiritual practice and you forget that it's all about your consciousness and not about external movements of the hands and the and so on and so forth. Be very careful of modern life and its promises. Modern life is a very external. Oof, it's really very, very amazingly external. With all its computer technology and so on, it doesn't reach the heart. When we go in the temple, we should be willing to have the heart over the brain. Those who visit the temple, they perform an obeisance. In the obeisances, the forehead touches the floor, the cool floor in this temple, the cool marble floor. And the heart is anatomically, for the first time of the day, placed in a higher position than the brain. All the rest of the day, it's our brain and our intelligence over the heart. But the moment we enter the sacred space, we anatomically change this sad position. We bring the heart, and I mean here, not a sentimental concept of the heart, but the spiritual heart, the devotion over the intellect. This very, are you entering the temple with this mood? You should forget the distractions of the day. Handies and mobile phones out! Hare Krishna. The different distractions, friend and enemy consciousness, out. You are now here to awaken your spiritual heart in relationship to Krishna. You are responding to Krishna's invitation, which he has said here. I reward you according to what you put into this relationship. That's what he says. I want to give you a very nice narration from the Bhagavatam, where this awakening of the spiritual heart is so nicely described. It comes in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam. It's a narration of Maharaj Chitraketu, who had a very interesting journey in his development. Chitraketu, as some of you know, became a king. Then he had a very distracting experience of fatherhood. He had a son who died very, very young, and as a result he became half mad. Later, by the Lord's mercy, he could capture his devotion again. But again, he had a very terrible experience and accident. He was cursed by Mother Parvati to be born in the body of a intergalactic demon. Speaking in modern words here in America, an interstellar demon. You know, he was really a powerful person, a magician, a sorcerer called Vritasura, and became such a burden to the universe that Indra was requested to kill him. So a battle was arranged, and this Chitraketu, who was now in the body of a demon, fought against the armies of the heavenly beings, the demigods, and he was so powerful that he ate the soldiers, devoured them. Finally, as he looked at Indra, who was holding the thunderbolt, his memory of his devotee existence awoke. He said to Indra, "I request you to please take this life away from me. I don't want to be any longer living this life." And then he said a very, very nice verse. He said, "My dear Lord, I am hankering for you only. As a little baby bird which only waits for his mother to come, I'm hankering for you. As a calf who is held by a rope and not able to drink the milk of the cow, I rush forward. I hanker only for you. And as a morose wife who's so disturbed because of the absence of her husband, I hanker only for you." So in this way, this great devotee, Chitraketu, has a spiritual awakening where he just comes out of this demoniac existence and becomes again what he's meant to be. He becomes a devotee who offers his devotion to Krishna. My dear devotees, we all have to undergo a similar transformation. Yes, we are not Vritasura. That is not our problem. I hope, at least. But what is necessary for us is to awaken our spiritual heart. And that will happen if we become very conscious of our relationship to Krishna. And if we become active in this relationship in a way where we are totally involved and totally involved. It doesn't take much. It's not a question of an ashram. It's not a question of what you do. It's actually not a question if you are a grihastha who works outside. Or if you are sannyasi who travels around the world, or brahmachari, the awakening of the spiritual heart is actually a question of your desire. Do you want an active relationship with Krishna? And that means you will have to respond to Lord Krishna's invitation. I must really say I've never fought so hard against there's such a culture of distraction in this temple. I've never seen this. This is requires a world certificate to be acknowledged in the proper way. Krishna. I would like to now look at the wristwatch. Yes, I think I have made a point, which you might remember. Awakening the spiritual heart means really to go into the relationship with Krishna and ask yourself the question, how can I, at this stage of my life, respond to Krishna's invitation to enter into this relationship with all my with my heart? It's not enough to do it in an external way. I'm a Hare Krishna, I have the Hare Krishna frisura, and I go once a week into the temple if something interesting is happening there. No, we must in our daily life, relationship is something on a daily basis, avoid the communication breakdown with God and really communicate with the Lord of our hearts in all respects. I want to now show you as an illustration a slide presentation on Kanainata Shala. Kanainata Shala is a beautiful place on the bank of the river Ganga. It's a place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's bhakti awakened. It is said like this. And I thought to show you the slideshow in relationship to our discussion. It's a very, very nice holy pilgrimage. I mean, to go to Kanainata Shala, to reach there, you have to cross Mother Ganga two times, and it lies in the midst of a most fascinating jungle. So I will show this to you today, and I hope you will enjoy it. But before I see it, I must say, I have seen some wonderful faces. Hare Krishna, Hare Bol. So nice. And Anutama is there, and his wife is there. Everything is there to feel heavy in Krishna consciousness when I see these devotees. Hare Krishna. I hope in my lecture I have reached you. I'm aware that I'm a provocative speaker, but that's the best when you want to catch someone's attention. You have to rock them or shake them. Because I'm only giving one lecture in Washington, I will be forgiven. If I would do this three times, then no one would invite me any longer. So I have taken really I have taken my opportunity to make a point which I really feel is important. My dear devotees, it's really very, very important for our spiritual survival. And I really hope that you will not take this lecture as something which is disturbing in your life. Please take it as an honest attempt to reach you spiritually. And please also do something about it. The moment we have a communication breakdown with God, we turn to Maya. And we don't feel happy because our experiences are only skin deep at that time and never reach the core, our spiritual existence. So let us now see. I have also said a bad comment about the technique, so it might not work now. Sorry? We will just adjust the computer. Now everything is silent. What happened? Something interesting is about to happen. I will tell you why the devotees put the computer together. I had always heard that something happened to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on his way from Gaya to Navadvip, something very mysterious. And I always wanted to find out and research what had happened. And I found out that after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came from Gaya back to Navadvip, on his way from Gaya to Navadvip, he visited the place Kanai Natayshala. It's a very historic place where for a long time there were temples. Long time means really hundreds and hundreds of years. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, this place is said to be the place where you can see the pastimes of Lord Krishna. It's a place of pictures. So there, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had crossed the Ganga, had visited this place, and under a tamal tree had an experience which totally changed him. Up till that time, he was in the form of an scholar, an arrogant scholar, but now he turned into a devotee. What changed him so much was that he saw Lord Krishna under the tamal tree. We can see if we have some, if there are some questions. Yes.
Just continuing on where you left off, Maharaj. When Krishna was personally present on this planet, there were so many people who had the good fortune to see him. But you don't really hear that so many people got transformed in the same way as Mahaprabhu did. So why was Mahaprabhu's experience different than
everybody's? When Krishna was present at the planet, there were so many people who had his personal darshan, but not all of them changed. Why not? It is said that now, a question is risen by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, which will answer your question. Who becomes attracted to Krishna? It's a good question, isn't it? Who becomes attracted to Krishna or is attracted to Krishna? And the answer to this question is, he who is in devotional service. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur gives the example of iron. When iron is covered by rust, then it will not be able to respond to the attractive force of a magnet. So when a person is covered by material consciousness, he cannot really respond to Krishna's attractiveness. Only he who is purified from material coverings by the process of devotional service can be attracted to Krishna. Duryodhana, for instance, saw Krishna, but he had no devotional service to Krishna, and therefore he was actually acting as if he would be an enemy to Krishna. Many others saw Krishna, but because of the lack of devotional service, they couldn't feel attracted. There is even one story in the Mahabharata about Duryodhana. When Krishna came to the palace for peace talks, he wanted to make the point that he's on the side of the Pandavas, and anyone who would be an enemy of the Pandavas would be his enemy. So then Krishna, to illustrate his point, showed a partial manifestation of the universal form. You know, there was a clear sign that he was God. But Duryodhana told his army people, please, you capture this. The army said, no, it's a universal form. He said, no, he's a magician, this Vasudev. Just come closer. But what hand should we take? You decide, just capture him. This is what happens when you have no devotional service in your heart. You cannot respond to Krishna. It's not possible. We are ready. Hare Krishna. So, please give me this thing. Can we make the music?